Galatians chapter 5, and we'll read some verses of scripture there in just a few moments together. In Galatians chapter 5, before we start, let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your presence again and for your love for us. Father, I want to pray a selfish prayer today. I want to pray for my church and for myself that you would bless us this morning. God, I know that you want us to be a blessing. But Father, in order for us to truly be a blessing to anybody, we need to be blessed by you. Because apart from you, God, we really have nothing to give. So Lord, we ask you to bless us today. As we study the scriptures, bless our minds. Bless our hearts and understanding. Help us, Lord, to make application of the scriptures that we read tonight to our own personal lives. And by your grace and your spirit, help us to begin to live the way that you called us to as a people of God. Bless us, Father, spiritually, naturally, materially. Bless us in every way so that we can be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name. Now open the word to our hearts today, Lord. We're going to trust that you're going to speak to us in this hour today. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We're going to trust you to speak to us today, God, that our faith would grow in leaps and bounds and we would begin to experience more and more and more your abundant life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to get to Galatians 5 in just a few moments. Our theme is the same as it's been now for several weeks, a number of weeks. We're talking on the subject of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to understand something. I think what we've learned, first of all, when Paul used that phrase in Ephesians chapter 5, when he talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit, realize that he was talking to Christians. He was writing to believers in the city of Ephesus, and he said, be filled with the Holy Spirit, which tells us this, brother and sister, just because we're Christians doesn't mean we're filled with the Holy Spirit. If we were, Paul wouldn't have had to tell the believers in Ephesus to be filled with the Holy Spirit. See? So to be filled with the Holy Spirit means to be under the influence of the Spirit of God, to be under the control of the Spirit of God, and to live a life that's empowered by the Spirit of the Lord. And really, you know what Paul is really teaching us in that one simple verse, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He is teaching us how to experience God. He's teaching us how to experience God in our own lives. John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And God wants us to experience a better quality of life with all of the spiritual blessings of hope and joy and peace and love and all of the blessings that he can bring to us in life so that our lives can be a living witness and testimony. Remember the psalmist said this. David said in Psalm 23, you've anointed my head with oil. My cup, King James says, my cup runneth over. My cup overflows. David was describing the kind of life he was experiencing in his relationship with God. A life that just overflowed with the goodness of the Lord. It's the kind of life that Jesus wants for all of us. A life that overflows. That's the life he has prepared for us as his children. But we only experience it when we are controlled by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, last week as we were closing the message, we began to talk about how the choices that we make, The sinful choices, the selfish choices that we make in our lives actually cut off, we cut ourselves off from the abundant life that God wants us to experience. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and let me read verse 13 and then we'll drop down to verse 15 through the end. Now let's see. Look at verse 1 first. Galatians 5 verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Therefore keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Listen to what he said. He said Jesus has set you free. It was for freedom Christ has set you free. Now what he's talking about is the power of sin. Okay. So we've got a misunderstanding in the church today when we talk about the grace of the Lord. We've got a misunderstanding in the church today that grace means it's okay for us to do whatever we want to do because we're going to heaven anyway. And that's what a lot of us think. And what Paul is teaching us in chapters 5 and 6 of the book of Galatians is that while it is true we are saved by grace, grace is not license to sin. It's not freedom to sin. It's actually freedom from sin and power over sin, because the reality is that even though we may be destined for heaven on our way to glory, sin still destroys. Sin is still, listen, the wages of sin is still death. And it will kill us. It will separate us from God. And yeah, we may be on our way to heaven, but listen, if we choose to live a selfish and sinful life, even if we're on our way to heaven, we can make our lives a living hell. And Paul is wanting us to experience better than that. Jesus wants us to experience better than that. Jesus wants us to live an abundant life of hope and faith and victory as believers in the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 13, and I'll read down through verse 21. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. There it is. Don't think that the freedom that you have in Jesus means that it's okay to sin. Okay to do whatever fleshly thing you desire. Okay. But through love, serve one another. Let me drop down to verse 16 and read through 21. Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh, and by the way, when he talks about flesh here, he's talking about the sinful human nature. That's what he means when he uses the term flesh. The sinful human nature that is, well, he'll tell us right here. Verse 17, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Your natural inclination is to go ways that are contrary to God. Your flesh nature and your new spirit nature are in opposition to each other. Your natural inclination is not to obey God. It's to do your own thing rather than to do God's thing. And he says, if we'll just simply make the choice to allow the Spirit of the Lord to control our lives, we'll live free from the power of our sinful nature. Verse 19, he says, the deeds of the flesh, and here's the sinful nature. Here's how it manifests itself. The deeds of the flesh, or the sinful human nature, is evident. It reveals itself in immorality, in that sexual immorality, in impurity, that's impure thoughts, in sensuality, in idolatry, that's putting things ahead of God, in sorcery and enmities, strife, division, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and on and on and on. He could keep on going, but he finally just says, well, that's enough. He says in verse 21, he says, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And listen to me. The book of Galatians is also written to Christians. Okay? This is written to Christians. And he's telling us that if we continue to choose the old sinful human nature rather than doing things God's way, it's going to cost us. That's what he tells us there in verse 21, where he says, if we practice those things, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is to say, we will not experience the things that are our inheritance as children of God. We simply won't. By taking the choice to live by the old sinful human nature, we sacrifice the blessings that God wants to bring to our life every day. And everything becomes a temptation in our life. Everything becomes a test and a temptation in our life. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about here. To choose between the flesh or the spirit. Your neighbor gets a brand new automobile. You have a choice. Are you going to walk in the spirit and rejoice with that brother or sister? Or are you going to walk in the flesh and be jealous of that brother and sister? Flesh or spirit? What are you going to choose, you see? You're invited to go to a party. There are people that are out doing all kinds of things at that party, and they're getting drunk and all this kind of stuff. Are you going to walk by the Spirit and stay sober? Are you going to give in to your desire to be drunk or to the peer pressure to get drunk and follow your fleshly instincts and live that way? You get cut off in traffic. You're going to walk by the Spirit. You're going to walk by the flesh. The Spirit walks in love. It lets things go. The flesh, it yells and screams and makes obscene gestures. See? What are you going to do? And I get it. Guys, listen, I get it. We all do that stuff. We all get jealous. We all get angry. Somebody offends you. Somebody says something that hurts your feelings. What are you going to do? You're going to walk in love, walk by the Spirit. You're going to forgive. You're going to let it go. Or are you going to hold on to the pain and the hurt and get bitter and just, you know, resentful on the inside? That's the flesh. And I understand we all do it. I get that. But the Scripture's telling us, guys, we don't have to. And the Scripture's telling us that when we make those choices to live by those fleshly inclinations, we sacrifice the blessing and the power of God in our life. So the choice is ours, you see. The choice is ours to make. Again, verse 21. If we choose to live by the fleshly nature, immorality, sensuality, anger, division, drunkenness, all of these kinds of things, we sacrifice our inheritance as children of God. Look over at the next chapter. We read this passage as we closed last week. But again, remember that Paul is writing to Christians and he's got a message for us as believers. God has a standard and it's way up here. But we're choosing to live by the flesh so much that we're living way down here. And we have sorrow and we live in fear and we live in bondage to sin. And all of these things are happening and God wants us to live in a better way. Galatians chapter 6 verses 7 and 8. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap life. If we do things the carnal, sinful way, we're going to pay a price for it. But if we'll do things God's way, even though our flesh, and I understand our flesh doesn't want to do things God's way. We naturally resist. That's what Paul told us there in that fifth chapter. When he says the flesh and the spirit are in opposition to one another in verse 17. We don't want to go God's way. But if we do, we end up winning in the end. You see. We're like the prodigal son. We're like the prodigal. You remember the story of the prodigal in Luke chapter 15? The prodigal lived with his father and he had everything. He had everything. Everything in abundance. And then you know what he decided? He decided he wanted to do things his own way. Instead of staying with the father, he wanted to do things his own way. And he goes out and he winds up losing everything that he's got. Why? Because he separated himself from the father and he chose to live his own way. The Bible says that he wound up on a pig farm. This is a Jewish boy, by the way, and pigs are unclean for Jews to begin with. But he has to, the only job he can get is working on a pig farm, feeding the pigs. And if you look closely at the scripture, here's what the story tells us. It tells us that this Jewish kid who has left everything and has cost him everything is working on a pig farm wishing he ate as well as the pigs did. That's pretty low, isn't it? That's pretty low. When you're feeding livestock and wishing you could eat as good as they did. But he lost everything because he went away from the Father. And you and I are the same way. When we choose to go away from the Father, we sacrifice the blessings that he could otherwise bring into our lives. But the good news is, just like the prodigal, we can repent and come home. We can turn around and come back to the Father. And remember what happened to the boy when he came back to his father. The father treated him like he'd never left. He was blessed abundantly. They put a ring on his finger, represents his authority, put clothes on his back, shoes on his feet, slaughtered the fatted calf. They had a party. They had a blowout. And this kid was treated as though he never left. And brother and sister, if we come back to God, if we will choose to do things God's way. Let me back up one book from Galatians to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul is talking about how we need to separate ourselves from the world and its ways and the people of the world and the way that they live and all that kind of thing. He says in verse 14, don't be bound together with unbelievers. What partnership of righteousness and lawlessness, light and dark, and so forth. He says in verse 16, for we're the temple of the living God. And so God says, and he begins to quote the prophets in verse 16. He says, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you and I will be a father to you and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord. Look at what he says. He says, if you will separate yourself from the ways of the world, stop living by the fleshly, sinful human nature. Stop living like the world lives. Start letting the Holy Spirit have control. Separate yourself in the way that you live your life. Look at what God says in verse 18. He says, I will be a father to you. What did he say? He says, if you'll separate yourself and walk with me, you will experience me as your father. Just like the prodigal experienced father when he came back home. You and I can experience God as our father and experience his blessings in our life. Point is this, just a couple of quick points, and I'm going to turn a corner this morning in our study. 2 points. First one, if we're not experiencing God, it's our fault, not his. And number two, when it comes to experiencing God, we're our own worst enemy. We're our own worst enemy. Our sinful human nature wants to be in control, and we have to crucify that sinful nature and allow the Holy Spirit to have control, to choose to surrender to the Spirit of the Lord and let him have control to experience God's best. There's power in the Holy Spirit to overcome every sin, to break every yoke of bondage, to trip every snare that the devil would set for us to defeat us. As Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly, far beyond what we ask or think, according to the power of his Spirit that works mightily within us. The Holy Spirit can set us free. And you and I need to have faith in the Holy Spirit of God. Faith that he can do the work that needs to be done. Now I want to turn a corner this morning. I'm going to talk about the blessings of the Lord and the power of God being manifest in us. And the key to that power, which the Bible tells us, is our faith. Okay? Over and over and over again, the scripture tells us, by faith you'll do this. Your faith has gotten you this. It is done to you according to your faith or as you have believed. So we have a key. God is a sovereign God, and God can do miracles at any time that he wants to. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, because he's God. But by and large, what you find when you study the Bible is that God chooses to cooperate with us on the basis of our faith in him. Okay? Many, many times, this is the key. That's why he would say, your faith has made you well. Your faith has opened this door and made this provision for you. And so we want to find out how to get to that place of faith. And the interesting thing is that it's the Holy Spirit who brings us to the place of faith. It's the Holy Spirit who opens the eyes of our understanding as to who the Lord is, what the Lord can do, how he can bless us, what he wants to provide for us. It's the Holy Spirit who opens our eyes and reveals this truth to us so that we can experience the good things of the Lord. And it's another reason why you and I need to commune with the Holy Spirit and learn to listen to his voice. See, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When the Bible says that, it doesn't simply mean hearing with a natural ear. Listen, just because you're here this morning, just because you're hearing me share the word of the Lord with you, it doesn't mean you're going to have any more faith at all when you leave here than when you came in. Doesn't mean it at all. See, there's a lot of people who have heard a lot of Bible who have no faith whatsoever in their lives. And it's because faith doesn't come because we hear with this ear. Faith comes when we hear in our heart the voice of the Holy Spirit when he speaks to us. When he opens our spiritual eyes, our spiritual ears, and we get a revelation of spiritual truth, That's when faith comes. And it's the Holy Spirit who does that work in us. Go back over to the Gospel of John and the 15th chapter. We've looked at several passages in John chapter 14, 15, and 16 about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do when he comes. John chapter 15, let's just start with this one, verse 26. Jesus is Jesus speaking, and he says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning." First of all, we know that the helper that he's talking about is the person of the Holy Spirit. We know that from the 14th chapter. But he tells us there that when the helper, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth, he will testify of Jesus. Do you understand today that the Holy Spirit is all about Jesus? He is all about Jesus. And he is testifying continually about Jesus. He is pointing the lost to Jesus. And when the lost come to Jesus, he continues to point believers to Jesus. He opens our eyes to who Jesus is as our Lord and Savior. But then he opens our eyes to what Jesus can do in our lives today. He opens our eyes to know that Jesus is glorious and powerful, and that Jesus can deliver us from addictions, and Jesus can deliver us from sin, and Jesus can bring healing to our body. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals all of these things to us. Look at the 16th chapter. And verse 17 with me. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus and who he is and what he can do. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. Jesus still talking? Still talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has already been judged." Now watch this. Watch what he says in just this part so far. Jesus says, when I ascend, I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit, and he's going to convict the world of sin. Do you understand, brother and sister, when you and I go out to witness for Jesus, it's not our responsibility to convict anybody of anything. It's not our responsibility, certainly not our responsibility to condemn anybody for anything. It's not our responsibility to convict anybody of anything. Our responsibility is just tell people about Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit's work from that point on to convict them, to show them the truth, and to draw them to the Son of God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to convince people of sin, of their need to be made righteous by Jesus, so they can escape the judgment that is to come. That's the Holy Spirit's work. But now follow along, verses 12 through 16. Jesus says, "I have many more things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but what he hears, he will speak. He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said he takes of mine and will disclose it to you." Please hear what Jesus is saying. He says the Holy Spirit is going to reveal me to the world. He's going to testify of who I am, and he's going to reveal who I am so that everybody can know. so that people can know that I'm the Savior of the world, so that people can know that I'm the deliverer, that I'm the healer, that I'm the provider, that I'm the caregiver. Everything that I am, the Holy Spirit knows it all, and He's going to glorify me by revealing me to everyone so that everyone can experience who I am in all of my fullness. But notice again, He says it's the Holy Spirit that reveals Jesus and brings us to faith. With that in mind, I want to look at one last passage of Scripture this morning. And we're going to pick up this theme next week. And I want you to look with me back over at the Gospel of Mark and the 10th chapter. No man can come to Jesus. No man will know who Jesus is unless the Holy Spirit opens his eyes to see who Jesus is. None of us will ever come to faith unless the Holy Spirit opens our eyes and reveals who Jesus is. It's the Holy Spirit who brings us to faith. Now watch this story. Very familiar story to you from Mark chapter 10 verse 46. Mark tells us here, then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Let's just stop right there. This is a blind man. Can't see anything in the natural, right? But he hears that Jesus is coming and begins to cry out something. He says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. What does that mean, son of David? Well, the Jews know that the phrase son of David is messianic. Okay, it speaks of the Messiah. In other words, Bartimaeus, this blind man, knows that Jesus is the Messiah. How does he know that? Well, we just told you, it's by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to truth so that we know who Jesus is. Do you remember the story in Matthew when Jesus is asking the disciples, who do people say that I am? Well, some say you're this prophet, some say you're that prophet. Jesus said, yeah, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says this. See, Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds this way. He says, Peter, you didn't get that from man. Man didn't reveal that to you. The Spirit of the Father God revealed that to you. He got the truth of who Jesus was by the Holy Spirit. Bartimaeus knows who Jesus is. How does he know? No man can know unless the Holy Spirit opens his eyes. So we know that the Holy Spirit has revealed to Bartimaeus who Jesus is. Here's the irony. Bartimaeus is a blind man, and yet he knows and sees who Jesus is. The Pharisees could see. They had no clue who Jesus was. They could see naturally, but they couldn't see spiritually. Bartimaeus couldn't see naturally, but he could see spiritually, and he knew who Jesus was. And he knew that Jesus was not only the Savior, he knew that Jesus was his healer. Jesus was the one who could heal him. Because Bartimaeus knew that the Son of David, the Messiah, that the prophet said that when the Messiah came, he would open the eyes of the blind. Jesus quoted this scripture, if you remember in Luke chapter 4 and verse 19. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to open the eyes of the blind, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and all of these things. So Bartimaeus knows that Jesus is Savior, but Jesus is also his healer. And it's all revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Let's finish the story from Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 48. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. He knows who Jesus is. And Jesus stopped and he said, call him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up. He's calling for you. throwing aside his cloak, and I love that. I love the expectation in Bartimaeus. The cloak that he wears is a beggar's garment. That's what he uses to lay out in front of him as he's begging. People will throw coins into it. He'll wrap it all up, and whatever he can get, he'll take it home. It's his beggar's garment. It's what he uses to beg and to receive from other people. And look at what it says there. It says that when he stands up to go to Jesus, he throws the coat away. Look at the expectation in his heart. Never going to need this beggar's garment again. Never going to have to beg again. When I get to Jesus, my eyes are going to be open. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be able to work like everybody else. I'm not going to have to sit here and beg anymore. Jesus is going to change everything about my life. That's what he's saying when he gets up and throws that coat aside. Verse 50, throwing aside his coat, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni," which means teacher, master, I want to regain my sight. And here it is. Please listen, church. Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and began following Jesus on the road. Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." Your faith. Family, what is our faith getting us from God these days? What are we experiencing in the Father these days by our faith? Are we experiencing blessings of the Lord? Are we experiencing healings from God? Are we experiencing deliverances from the Lord? Are we being set free from the powers of sin and darkness? Or are we still just kind of muddling through and trudging through, and instead of living in hope, living in despair? Instead of living in faith, we're living in fear. Instead of walking in love, we're walking in anger. You know, and instead of experiencing joy, we're walking in sorrow. What are we experiencing? I just want to tell you today, all of us, God has something better for every one of us. And if we'll continue to pursue the Lord, and if we'll listen to the voice of the Spirit of God, and if we'll learn to believe and let the Holy Spirit have control, then our faith will unleash God's power. This is the Ephesians 1 prayer. This is Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1, to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus so that we can experience everything he has in store for this life. Wherever we are, there's something better. God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us abundantly. We're going to pick it up right here next week. Father, we thank you today. We thank you that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you that what Jesus ever did, he can still do. We thank you that whatever your children experienced in the past, they can experience it today. Because you're a changeless God. While we sit here this morning in the presence of the Lord, I want us to think about our lives. Think about how we're living. What, if anything, from God we're experiencing. And let's ask the Lord, what changes need to be made in our lives that we might experience more of who he is? His goodness and his love, his joy and his peace. And without question, the key, brother and sister, is being willing and able to let go of control of the circumstances of our lives and let the Holy Spirit have control. And if the Holy Spirit says do something, then we do it. But if the Holy Spirit says don't do something, one of the biggest problems that most of us have is we don't know how to say no. And we just get loaded up with so much stuff that we're trying to control and things we're trying to fix and problems we're trying to solve. And so much of it is not even our business. God wants us to let it go. And He can't get His hands on it till we get our hands off of it. God wants us to let it go and let him have control of it, so that He can accomplish His purposes. You know, I really think that God, I really believe with all my heart that God wants to bless every person. And I understand we don't all walk in the blessings of the Lord. But I believe He wants to. I believe with all my heart God wants to make people well. I understand that not everybody's going to get well. But I believe God wants to. And I don't know why He doesn't. Not always. But I believe He wants us well. Luke, I believe God wants you well today. I believe God wants you well. And I believe you're going to beat that cancer. I believe you're going to be healed with that. Father, I thank You for that. Thank You for that. Wants our marriages to be blessed and strong and testimonies to future generations. He's got to be in control. We can't keep controlling ourselves and trying to control our spouse. Still see God's blessing there. It just doesn't happen. We have to let the Holy Spirit be in control. He'll make our marriages some kind of good. I believe God wants to bless us financially. I don't for a minute mean that God wants everybody to be a millionaire. I don't believe that. I don't believe that He wants everybody to be filthy rich. But I believe that God, listen, God knows that it takes money to preach the gospel around the world. It takes money to buy these gifts for these shoeboxes, to provide for these children, to give them the gospel. It takes money. Money, do you understand today? Money's not an issue for God. Money is only a problem when it becomes an issue for us. I believe God wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing. Church friends and family, and if there are others on your heart that I don't lift up, and you want to lift somebody up to the Lord just with a quick prayer this morning, then we'll just open the house and allow you to pray as well. But let's pray together. Pray for one another. Can I ask you to do this even without looking around? As I'm praying for the needs that are on a list before me right now, would you pray for the people that are with you? Pray for the person on your left and on your right, the person in front of you, the person behind you. You don't need to know their name. You don't need to know the problem. Just pray for the Lord to bless them. Pray for them to know Jesus more and more. Pray for them to know the will of God for their lives. Pray for them to walk in the union with Jesus and to know the wisdom and peace and the joy of the Lord. Would you pray for one another? As I pray this morning for these people on this list, our church prayer list, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for my brother Luke today. I continue to pray for his complete and total healing. I pray for Helen Nichols, Lord, that you continue to work healing into her knee and make her whole. I pray for Diana Unery. I pray that you would arrest the cancer in her bones, that you would make her completely well. I pray for Ann Metz today, Lord. I pray for strength and wholeness. I pray for peace and comfort. For our dear sister Shirley Brooks, Father, we pray for healing for her today. There are several ailments that she is suffering physically. We also pray for her emotionally today, Lord, as she continues to grieve over the loss of her husband. We pray for wisdom for Betty Gallier and those that are giving care to her, Lord. To her body and soundness. And Lord, we pray for Lindsay Shelton today. We ask for healing for her, Father. We pray the cancer would be completely gone from her body. The reconstructive surgery of total success, that she can get on with a normal life. We thank you for it. Pray for Sybil. She continues to grieve over the loss of Judd. Lord, bring peace, joy back to her heart. I pray for my mom. You would bring strength to her body. If there are others on your heart, would you lift them to the Lord quickly this morning? Let's agree together for the will of the Lord. Grace and mercy rest upon these, Father, that need your divine and healing touch. Father, we pray for Chris, Helen, and Anna Kunkel today. Passing of their son and brother. Pray, Lord, for the comfort of the Holy Spirit on these precious, precious people. Lord, that you just draw near to them and fill up the void in their life by your glorious presence. Make yourself known, Father. May they draw near to you during this difficult season. And help us, Father, as their friends and neighbors, help us to know how to minister to them. What to say, what to do, what to share. Thank you, Father. About you here this morning while we stand in attitude of prayer. Is anybody anybody here that we can pray about anything in your life this morning? Anything going on we can intercede for you about? Lord, we pray you continue to make David and Debbie strong and well. Bring wholeness to their bodies. Continue to pray, Lord, thank you for your strength that Christine has experienced in the last few days. I ask, Lord, you bring increase to that. We thank you for it. Michelle Marie still needs employment. Father, we pray for her. Others of the church, Lord, still looking for jobs. We pray for them, God, that you would lead them. Give them your wisdom. Guide them in your path. Thank you, Father. Amen. Let's stand together. I just want to challenge you as you leave here today to realize that God has something more. Wherever we are in our spiritual journey, God has something more. And let's don't ever be satisfied where we are or with what we have or what we're doing for the Lord. Let's press on for the something more that God wants to give to us and do in us and do through us for the glory of His kingdom. Father, thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you for the word of the Lord that has encouraged us yet again. Father, I trust that you have spoken to our hearts today by your Spirit so that faith indeed has risen in our hearts and been brought to life within us. May we press on to the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is ours in Christ Jesus. May all that we seek, Lord, be ultimately for your glory and for the building up of your kingdom in this world. And for everything you give to us, Lord, may we be faithful to testify on your behalf and in your name of what you have done for us as your people and your children. God, we commit now this congregation into your hands. We ask you to lead and guide us as we go away from this place today. Continue to be with us. Speak to our hearts. Minister life. Life more abundant. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing again. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger. I will stay in your presence day by day till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. Thank you for being with us today. There's more in the Lord.